For you see,
some men hunt for sport, others hunt for food. The only thing I'm hunting for is an outfit that looks good. See my vest, see my vest, made from real gorilla chest. Feel this sweater, there's no better than authentic Irish setter. See this hat, t'was my cat, my evening wear, vampire bat. These white slippers are albino, African endangered rhino, grizzly bear underwear, turtle's necks, I've got my share. Parade of poodle on my noodle, it shall rest. Try my red robin suit, it comes one breast or two. See my vest, see my vest, see my vest. Like my loafers, former gophers, it was that, a skin nice chauffeurs, but a greyhound for tuxedo would be best. So let's prepare these dogs.
Kill two for matching dogs.
See my vest, see my vest. Oh, please, won't you see my vest? I really like the vest.
The X-Zone radio and TV show is largely an opinion talk show. All opinions, comments, or statements of fact expressed by Rob McConnell's guests are strictly their own and are not to be construed as those of the X-Zone radio and TV show or in any manner endorsed by Rob McConnell, Relmar McConnell Media Company, Talkstar Radio Network, its affiliated stations, or employees.
Welcome to the X Zone, a place where fact is fiction and fiction is reality. Now, here's your host, Rob McConnell.
Back to the X-Zone, everyone. My name is Rob McConnell. We're coming to you live and around the world on the Talkstar Radio Network and our fine family of broadcast affiliates across Canada, the United States, Central America, the Caribbean, South America, the Pacific Rim, Asia, and Europe, and what's left of the world on TalkstarRadio.com streaming audio. If you'd like to give us a call, 1-877-528-8255. Now, that is toll-free at 1-877-528-8255. Our email address is xzone@talkstarradio.com. On MSN Messenger, talkstarradio@hotmail.com. And our website, www.xzoneradio.com. My guest this hour is Willie Windwalker Gibson. He lives in Louisville, Kentucky. And he is a paranormal researcher. He is a psychic. He is an Eastern Band Cherokee Irish descent, so he also has Celtic blood in him, too. Since the age of 10, he has been able to sense things. He can see and hear ghosts and energy. In 1981, he was a peace officer assigned to state property, and he was to watch over an Indian burial ground. It was the first time he met a spirit of a shaman called Singing Fox. Singing Fox gave Willie his name of Windwalker, he who walks with spirits. He also told Willie that he would follow a spiritual path and become a shaman, which Willie did. And Willie, Windwalker, Gibson, it is always great having you on the show. How are you, Willie?
I'm doing good.
What's new in the life of Willie Windwalker Gibson?
Well, I've been doing some cases around Louisville, working on a new book. Been in negotiations with a couple of movie companies. They're interested in maybe turning my book into a movie. But so far, it's just we're just been throwing ideas around, and it's all about funding too.
Mm-hmm. Willie, we have to take a commercial break. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Willie Windwalker Gibson is our very special guest. We're talking about ghosts, we're talking about spirituality, we're talking about shamanism, we're talking about the paranormal as well as new hauntings. 1-877-528-8255 is our toll-free number, and Willie Windwalker Gibson and I will return on the other side of this 2-minute break as we continue live and around the world from our studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, exclusively right here on the Talk Star Radio Network.
Mama said, girl, you won't get far. Thus are the dreams of an average Jane. 90 miles an hour down a lover's lane on a tank of dreams. Oh, if she could have only seen.
Welcome back. Willie Windwalker Gibson is our very special guest. And, Willie, I was wondering if you could tell us about any new hauntings that you've investigated.
There's been a couple that's been here in Louisville. One's a house that's been vacant for, I guess, 20 years, and there's been some activity there, and they've been wanting a sensitive to go in there and see what's going on. It's an old farmhouse, and there has been an entity seen on the property, and his pictures has been taken. His name is George, and I've seen the picture, so it's an authentic picture. So I'm going to go in and hopefully here in the next month or so and try to make contact with George and see if he wants to leave the property. He was shot on that property, so his spirit's on that property bound right now. I don't know if there's unfinished business that needs to be taken care of, or he just doesn't know he's crossed over. So that's going to be one of my biggest ones right there.
Now, when George communicates with you, how does he do it? Does he do it as a spirit? Does he do it as a ghost?
He appears as his spirit appears, but he's kind of transparent.
Mm-hmm.
And he's wandering around. The picture that I was shown is the exact same spot where he was shot. Now, he was shot accidentally by a hunter, and I don't think George knows where, you know, that he's crossed over. So I'm going to go in, and as soon as I get permission from the owner of the property, go in and try to help him cross over.
Mm-hmm. How do you help spirits cross over, Willie?
Well, first thing I got to do is I got to try to communicate with them and see why they're bound there. There might be a reason why they're bound there, and if it's usually they're just wandering around. They don't even know that they've crossed over. And if once I make contact with them and tell them what's going on, I would help them cross over. And what I do, I say a prayer and ask the Great Spirit or God to send a messenger down to take them, and usually 9 times out of 10 they'll cross over then.
Are spirits confused? Like when you're talking about a spirit who doesn't know that they're dead, how does this affect them, Matt? You know, you just imagine roaming the earth, not knowing why people aren't talking to you, not knowing why you can't do certain things anymore. How do they cope with this?
A lot of them are reliving the actual event. To them, the time hasn't passed, and they just keep going on and on. Just like we have a place here in Louisville called Waverly Hills that's very active. And it was an old TB hospital, and a lot of the spirits that are there don't even know that they're crossed over. They're reliving their daily lives there. This place is just like a big family there. Everybody had the same thing, and they were on this hill in this hospital, and nobody was able to. A lot of them were quarantined, and a lot of their families would go up there and just to be with them and lived on the property. So you've got a lot of residual energy there. You've got a lot of ghosts walking around that doesn't even know they've crossed over. And I've talked to quite a few of them up there that don't want to leave because that's home to them.
Now, the Waverly, I understand, has a lot of people who like to dabble into the paranormal, going in and checking these things out. I call them ghost seekers.
Yeah.
How do these spirits contend with all these people invading their space all the time?
Well, most of the time it's pretty peaceful, but there's been a couple of times that a couple of the investigators has been hurt. One got his head busted open by a flying brick there. As long as you treat the area with respect and don't go in there and think it's a big party, usually they don't bother you. Some of them have been, caught on camera, but there's two main ghosts there, a little boy named Timmy up on the second floor that plays ball. You can see a ball roll back and forth like there's somebody pushing it back and forth. And then there's a woman there named Mary Lee who died on the property too. I went up there and talked to her, and she was actually a person that went up there and that was a worker there that contracted TB, and she crossed over there. But she considers that her home, and so does Timmy. Timmy does. I've tried to cross them both over, but they told me that they'd rather stay there. So I don't try to push them or provoke them in any way. It's up to them if they want to cross over.
Now, with the interaction between the spirits and the researchers, I understand that everyone wants to be respected.
Yeah.
How many people go through Waverly Hills on a annual basis, to your knowledge? The living ones.
In a whole year, I would say probably. They run the tours in the summertime nightly there, and they have different tours. They have like a $20 tour, which you spend just a few hours there, and they also have an overnight tour that they charge people like $100 a piece to spend the night there.
Holy cow, it sounds like a good business to be in.
Yeah, well, I would say, and then they have their Halloween haunted house there in October where, they make a lot of money. I would say in a year's time, I would bet about 20,000 people come through there.
Wow. So that's about 400 grand minimum.
Yeah, it's a nonprofit, and a lot of the profits go to charities.
Well, that's good. It's good to see people helping people. And
in
this case,
it usually goes to the Children's Hospital here and the Crusade for Children.
Well, like I said, it's good to have people helping people, and in this case, it's the dead who are helping the people.
Yeah, well, and it's also going to the refurbishing of the sanitarium too. To put a roof on the place, windows in the place, so people can go there in safety.
Mm-hmm. What has been your most memorable moment as a paranormal researcher, Willie?
Since I was a child, I would say seeing my father come back and visit me and showing me that he had, you know, he was a double amputee, and he showed me his legs and, you know, that he got new legs on the other side was one of the most memorable. And I would guess I was on a property one time that there was a child there that was lost, and about 7 years old, and he kept appearing in my apartment because I lived on the property that he died on. And he appeared in, you know, when I moved in this apartment, he kept appearing to my wife and me. And just one night I decided, you know, to ask him, did he want to cross over? And he was looking for his parents, his mom and dad. And I told him that he could meet his mom and dad on the other side because from the research I did, it was a fire and everybody got killed, including him. So I told him that he could see the white light and he can go over and be with his mom and dad. So after I did that, you could tell the apartment was lighter. I mean, you could tell by the energy that he went on across. That was one of my most memorable ones.
Willie, do the spirits know who has the gift like you have and other mediums, clairvoyants, and who doesn't?
They are attracted to our energy. It's called the light. Usually sensitives have a certain energy that comes off of them, and they attract spirits. I mean, I used to think I always lived in a haunted house, but it wasn't the house that was haunted. It was me, because they would be attracted to me. I mean, I have to watch myself, you know, when I go in different old sections of the town, and especially around cemeteries and things like that, because they show up pretty fast.
Have you ever been frightened or caught off guard?
Back in 1988, I was woken up in the middle of the night, and I was pinned to the bed. I wasn't dreaming. I didn't have one of these night dreams where, you know, you have paralyzed, your body's paralyzed. I was actually pinned to the bed, and I had this entity on top of me. And that was a pretty frightening experience, and it took everything I had and concentration I had, and I started doing prayers and asking my spirit guides and God to help me out with what was going on. And when I started doing that and doing the prayer, the entity backed off and left.
Now, you're an ordained minister and a shaman.
Yeah.
How can you be both at the same time?
Okay, back in 1981, you know, you know my Indian background and my Irish background, but back in 1981, I wasn't really into the Native American ways because I wasn't brought up that way. I knew at the age of 10 I was Native American, but I was like a city Native American.
Oh,
okay?
I see.
So when I went into this cemetery on patrol and I saw Singing Fox and he started working with me and told me that I was going to be a shaman and gave me my Indian name, I was proud about it, but I didn't really use any of it until later on because I had other teachers come to me too and other shamans too. And I was brought up Pentecostal and short terms.
Willie, hold on. I'd like to continue this story on the other side of this news break. Willie, okay. Windwalker Gibson is our very special guest. Our toll-free number is 1-877-528-8255. That's toll-free at 1-877-528-8255. And Willie Windwalker Gibson and I will be back on the other side of this break as we continue live and around the world from our studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, right here on TalkStar.
My name is Michael Telstar, Canada's leading mentalist from Toronto, Ontario.
Hi, my name is Florenza, and you're listening to my dad, Ron McConnell, on the XM.
This is Psychic Dorothy from St. Catharines, and you're listening to Rob McConnell. Hello, my name is Holly Reeves, an astrologer from Astro for You, and you're listening to Canada's number one paranormal radio show, The X Zone, with Rob McConnell.
Welcome to The X Zone, a place where fact is fiction and fiction is reality. Now, here's your host, Rob McConnell.
This portion of the X Zone is being brought to you by Ken Klein Productions, bringing mysteries into the light of day. www.kenkleintv.com and Technon, the science of survival. When danger strikes, are you going to be prepared? www.technonllc.com. Willie Windwalker Gibson is our special guest this hour. His MySpace page is www.myspace.com/crystalchief55. That's www.myspace.com/crystalchief55. And Willie, before we went to the commercial break, we were talking about how you could be an ordained minister and a shaman at the same time, and I find your story very interesting.
Yeah, well, I was raised Pentecostal, and we had a strong belief in God growing up. My dad would actually sit down on Sunday and read us the Bible, and I had a couple of uncles that were ministers from the hills of Kentucky. So I was, like I said, I was brought up Pentecostal, and after I got my training as a shaman, I started to think, and you know, the Great Spirit and God are one and the same, so why can't I combine my shaman abilities with my Christian abilities to help the spirit? So that's what I did. I found after I become an ordained minister, in certain situations I could say, if I was going into an exorcism or something like that, I could do the don my minister's robes and go in as a minister and take care of it that way. Or if I'm dealing in a other situation, say if it was a Native American situation, or I needed a more stronger I guess the Native American energy, I would use that. So I actually use both of them, because the shamans are great believers in the Great Spirit and uses spirit guides and angels, as well as a minister, you know, uses God for.
If God and the Great Spirit are one and the same, why would it matter if you were doing an exorcism and you were a minister or a shaman?
Well, the things I've run into, if I was going to go into a house for an investigation, and I find it might be demonic or anything like that. The people that I'm doing the service for, or you know, the owners or whoever's possessed or whatever, feel better having a minister there doing it than somebody with, you know, with, say, coming in buckskins and stuff like that and doing it the Native American way. So I find that, you know, it complements each one of a, they complement each other.
Mm-hmm. Now, is there a difference between the actual possession of the person if it is a Native American possession or a Christian possession?
Well, a demon's a demon. I mean, mm-hmm. No matter if they go into a Native American or a non-Native American, it just depends, you know, on how I want to go about doing it.
Are you at any risk when you do an exorcism?
I have been clawed. I have been spit on. I have been thrown against walls. I've had things thrown at me, levitated off the floor. I've been hurt a couple of times.
How long does the exorcism take?
It depends on how strong a demon you got. Believe it or not, there are really, really powerful demons, mm-hmm. and there are what I call low-level demons. Low-level demons, you probably can get do an exorcism within a few hours. The really strong ones, and I've had an exorcism go on probably as long as 2 days.
How do you prepare for an exorcism?
Well, a lot of exorcists do it different ways, or the people that does the exorcisms. A lot of them fast for a couple of days or a week. I find when I go into an exorcism that before I go in there, I make sure I get plenty of rest. I usually rest for about 2 days, don't do anything, build up my energy, do some prayers. I do a lot of cleansing on myself. A lot of protections are put up, mm-hmm. and then I go into it.
What was your first exorcism like?
My first one was actually there was two ladies that came to me and said something was going on with them because they were actually seeing things there were two friends, but they were actually experiencing the same thing. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting there talking to them, and I was feeling a negative energy coming off both of them. And as I was sitting there talking to them, you know, it seemed like they were getting madder and madder at me. And where I had them talking and doing the interview, I had a lot of religious things around. I had crosses on the walls and purification salt and holy water and all that, and they were really, really agitated. So after I talked to them, I said, I think since there's a couple of demons, one in each of you, and they kind of scoffed at it. They said, well, what would we do? So I said, we need to do, I told them it was going to be a clearing, which is basically that's what it is, an exorcism. So I went on ahead, and I didn't even give them a chance to leave. What I did, I went into what I call the purification rites, and then what I did, I put them in a circle of salt, which they really got agitated in, and then I started doing my prayers and using holy water, and as I was starting to do that, they were kind of cussing at me and spitting at me and stuff like that. Oh, by the way, I had help too. I had some people come in to help me hold them down and things. So they had a couple of low-level demons in them. And after about 3 hours of the exorcism, and the demons were gone. Now, these two women were best of friends, okay? After I did that, they couldn't stand each other no more.
Really?
Yeah, it was like the demons were kind of like tag teaming together to keep these two women together. And what they were doing, these women would go everywhere, and they would compete for the same guy or the same job or something like that. And they were was wanting to know what was going on with them because it was strange. That was what was going on. Each one of them had a demon in them, and after I got rid of them, they couldn't stand each other. They didn't even talk to each other after that time.
How do you know when the demon is actually gone?
Well, when you go into an exorcism, especially when you start and you're doing the purification rites and everything, and you have all this holy water and stuff like that around, and after you use it all, and you can also, there's a smell too, okay, that comes off of a person that's, once you start doing the exorcism. It's kind of like if you ever smelt like rotten hamburger, I would say it's a good thing. I mean, for you to imagine.
That's a good example, yeah.
Yeah, and after you do the exorcism, that smell is gone, and actually, there's been a couple of times I've actually smelt roses, you know, so that tells me that everything was gone. And also, when you're doing the exorcism, it feels like it, the air is dense. You know, it's like you're moving in slow motion, like. And after the exorcism, everything is lighter around the whole area where you were doing the exorcism.
The people after the exorcism, do they remember everything that happened to them, or is their memory cleaned by the exorcism as well?
The ones that I did, they don't remember. They remember coming to the house. Mm-hmm. They don't remember what I've done after I start. But they're their attitude changes. Their a joy comes over them.
I would imagine so, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, while you're doing the exorcism, do you get any spiritual help from those who have not departed this dimension to go towards the light?
You mean spirit guides and angels?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, I call them in. I call my spirit guides in. I also put up put a white light of protection around me. And the other, if I decide to use the salt ring, I use that sometimes. Sometimes I just go with what I got, you know. When I do an exorcism, I make sure that I've got help in case they're start to fight or start to grab at me or whatever.
So it can get quite physical. Now, on the television exorcisms we see there be a drastic decrease in temperature.
Yeah.
Does this happen?
Yeah. It gets cold. You can tell. You can feel the psychic breeze. You can feel. It's a type of cold. It's not exactly like if you walk into a freezer.
Mm-hmm.
This is a type of cold that really goes right into your bones. You know, and it's just, it's almost paralyzing, the cold.
Do they also speak in tongues, and do their heads really spin around like Linda Blair's did in
no,
the Exorcist?
No. There's a lot of rocking going on, a lot of cussing going on. Yes, they, I call it speaking in tongues goes on, talking in language that I don't know. And, as far as their heads spinning around, the worst that I've ever seen is they were rocking so violently that we had to hold their head to keep from banging their head against the wall or breaking out of the chair or
so basically
on the bed.
So basically they have a convulsion. They go into convulsions.
Convulsion. That's what it is.
While the exorcism is going on, if it lasts 2 days, it must be awful strenuous on the possessed person as well as yourself.
Yeah, it is. You have to take just the short breaks. I mean, not a whole lot, maybe 10 or 15 minutes, sit down, have something to drink, go to the bathroom, whatever. That's why when if you know you're going to go into a really bad exorcism, you have to be rested. And a lot of people, like I said, they fast for several days. And the reason they do that is in case they have a reaction where, you know, they might start upchucking and stuff like that. If there's nothing in their system,
right,
then you can just keep on going.
Have you ever done an exorcism with another exorcist because the demon is so strong that it actually takes two or more of you to successfully toss the demon out?
I have done that. I have done it with another minister. And between the two of us, like I said, it took this one time, it took about roughly 2 days. That's the longest one I've done, 2 days.
Wow. Two whole days.
I've actually, when I did a house, there was a house that had a demonic presence in it, and it took me 2 weeks to get the house free of it.
2 weeks?
What it was, the person that owned the house asked me to do it because there was a demonic presence in there, and it was attacking her.
Right.
So I went in and did the clearing. And I cleared the house, okay? The house was cleaned the first time I did it. And about a week later, she said it came back. Now, what I found out after I questioned her a little bit, this lady lived by herself and she was lonely and all that kind of stuff, and she was wishing that she had a companion. Well, this energy came back. You can you have to have a right attitude if you're clearing a house, that the people realize that they can invite something in by just negativity.
I see. So houses can also be possessed. And how do you know if your house is possessed or your house is haunted?
Usually, when the ones that I've went in, when you go in, you can feel the energy. It's really, really dark, really, really dense. Like I said, you can barely move in it. And there's usually things that are moved, like things flying off the wall, electrical problems, lights going on and off. See, you have to do kind of, you got to be an investigator doing it. You got to make sure that they don't have bad wiring, or, you know, this the walls are just weak or something like that. You have to go in first and just investigate a little bit and witness it for yourself. I just don't go into an exorcism blind. I do a little investigation work too, and I also talk to the people to make sure they don't have a mental problem.
All right, Willie Windwalker Gibson, please stand by. www.myspace.com/CrystalChief55 is his website. And Willie Windwalker Gibson and I will be back on the other side of this break as the X-Zone continues live and around the world from our studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, right here on TalkStar. Willie Windwalker Gibson is our special guest. And first of all, Willie, I want to thank you very much for joining us tonight. Always great having you on the show. What advice do you have for people who are considering becoming psychic investigators?
Well, you have to have a really, really good interest in it. Don't go into it as just a fun thing to do and a pastime. If you really, really are interested in it, be serious in what you do. If you go in and you're investigating a haunting, make sure that you go in as a professional. Make sure if you do run up against a place that's active, that you treat the entity with respect, because it's powerful. I mean, it's more powerful than you. And if you have to know what you're dealing with, whether it's demonic or just a poltergeist activity or a lost soul or whatever, just be professional and always, always, you know, when you go in, just don't go in there and think it's a joke.
Willie, a lot of new or amateur researchers go into cemeteries. Now, is the cemetery a safe place since it's consecrated ground?
No. A lot of people go in there that are curious. Okay, and they think they know what they're doing. But that's the wrong place to go in and try to get your curiosity quenched. You know, I have problems in cemeteries because I've got the energy that draws spirits to me. Mm-hmm. Now you say, you know, it's consecrated ground, everybody in there should be at peace.
Yeah.
Well, we've got a cemetery here in Louisville that's called Eastern Cemetery. And a lot of the graves have been desecrated, and it's just the energy is just all, I mean, it's really dense, and I've got an uncle and a grandfather in there that I go in, and their graves were unmarked, and I recently had to go in there and mark them myself because I had to get an archaeologist to help me do it. So they were laying there without markers for over 50 years, so I went in there and marked their graves and did a actual I did another service for them myself. But there's a haunted chapel on the property that's been desecrated. People's gone in there and done all kinds of demonic symbols and things, and they go in there and I guess they figure it gives them more power to go into a cemetery and being around the dead and trying to raise all kinds of negative energy. And it's really, really sad because at one time this was the oldest cemetery in Louisville, and they've just gone in there and just tore it up and knocked over tombstones and things like that.
That is so wrong to do. That is so wrong.
Yeah.
Willie, I want to thank you very much for joining us tonight. Take care of yourself, Willie, and always look forward to when you're with us.
I was happy to be here.
Take care, my friend.
All right.
Bye-bye. Willie Windwalker Gibson, www.myspace.com/CrystalChief55. That's www.myspace.com/CrystalChief55.com. Why don't we come back from the news at the top of the hour at 6:30 past, I'll be joined by Bonnie Vent. We're going to be talking about her channeling Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter, on the other side of this break as we continue live and around the world on the Talk Star Radio Network. And I'm with you Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. Eastern until 2 a.m. Eastern. And then the show is repeated in its entirety from 2 a.m. until 6 a.m. Tuesday to Saturday. 1-877-528-8255 is toll-free. X-Zone at TalkStarRadio.com. On MSN Messenger, TalkStarRadio at Hotmail.com. And our website, www.xzoneradio.com. I'll be back after the news as we continue from our studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, exclusively on TalkStar.